Good to see you today. I want today being December the 22nd, the Sunday before Christmas 2024, we're going to begin our second lesson in this new series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. And today's lesson is entitled The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. Now, many things that we think about in this old world, and you know, we want all kinds of things. Everybody's talking about what they want for Christmas. But could I tell you what we need today for Christmas? And that is a new fear of the Lord. A new recognition for who God really is. You know what? Jesus is more than just a babe in a manger that we take out and put out for a month or so in the end of the year and then pack him back up, put him in a box, and set him on a shelf somewhere for the rest of the year. Jesus is alive and well. Amen. He's not got a sniffle, not got a cold, nothing. But I want you to understand today, this lesson on the fear of the Lord, I want you to find out what is the fear of the Lord. I want to ask you that this morning. What is the fear of the Lord? And then I want you to ask yourself the same question I've asked myself. Does my life exemplify a reverential fear of the Lord? Now, I want us to look at the theme verses today for our lesson. And it's in Proverbs chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5. And listen to what he said. Solomon wrote here and he said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." There's a song that we oftentimes sing in our church, and it's entitled Trust and Obey. And it says this, it says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you know, when I read those words of that song and I consider the verses, there are several verses in here in this song. But when I look at those things and consider them, and I look at our lesson today, we'll better understand what it really means to possess the fear of the Lord. And if we as Christians really want to possess the wisdom of God in our lives, and we need that today, do we not? We need the wisdom of God. Then God tells us here in His Word how you can have it. And it all begins when we attain that fear of the Lord. Now, I want us to look at this morning. Number one, I want you to see something today, that there must first be a personal relationship with God in order to know the fear of the Lord. There needs to be a personal relationship. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1 just a moment. Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 8. And this is what it said. It said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." All throughout the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, we read these words, "Hear, O Israel." Moses spoke those words. God said those things. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord," or "Thus saith the Lord God." The Old Testament prophets would proclaim. Why? It was all because God had something to say to them. In the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1, Hosea wrote these words. He said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I think today, without taking away from the word of God, but we could take and we could apply this verse to our country today. We could apply this to our country, the United States of America. Hear the word of the Lord, ye people of America. They need to hear the word of God. They rejected the word of God. And it said, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Boy, the Lord's got a controversy with our land today, does he not? If we don't turn away from the sin and the things that we've been doing, we're doomed. Our country is doomed. And I pray that God will send revival. But you know how God will send revival? It has to come through you and me. And God has to revive that which is, okay, belonging first of all to him. And there must be a relationship with the Lord God in order to know revival. This passage in America, we can apply it to our own personal lives. But you know, here's the question today. What is truth? And where can we find real truth today? Where can we find real truth? Real truth is found right here in the Word of God. This is truth. If you turn over to the book of John, the New Testament book of John, chapter 17, if you get the opportunity this week, you need to read this chapter. John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, Jesus is there praying to his heavenly Father. He's praying to his Father. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary to die for you and for me. And he's praying there. And I want you to look in John chapter 17, verse number 17. And look what Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We find out where the truth is at today, do we not? It's in the word of God. And listen, in order to recognize the word of God as truth, I have to first have a personal relationship and to know the one who gives us truth. We have to know the Lord God. The lost world today does not know or even recognize God's truth because they don't know the giver of the truth. They don't know the giver of truth. And in order to know the giver of truth, you have to know him as your own personal Savior. The Bible talks about it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to what he said. He said, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now think about that just a moment, folks. Think about that this morning. News reports today are filled with all sorts of violence and crime. You see all the news that comes across the TV, and all you ever see is violence and crime and just wicked things going on. America's crime rate statistics are no longer confined to just the inner city, but they're everywhere. Everywhere. We saw just this past week in a Christian school in Wisconsin, a little girl, 15 years old, goes in and shoots folks and then takes her own life. Burdens and heartaches. And folks, this was in a Christian school. Folks, listen to me today. We don't know all the things that are going on in our world today. I think it would scare us to death if the Lord opened our eyes to let us see all the spiritual battles that are going on around us today. If we saw the warfare that is going on in the air around us today, it'd scare us to death. That's why we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. There seems to be less and less fear or even respect for the Lord in our society. I noticed yesterday, I don't go on Facebook a lot, but I went on yesterday morning, and I was trying to find somebody there that could tell me about our pastor. My former pastor down in North Carolina had a heart attack this past week. And he had gone to the hospital. He went to the ER. And they sent him home and said he was having a muscular skeletal issue in his chest. And they sent him home. And he got to hurting all through the night. And he went back the next day and they found out he had had a heart attack. And ended up having a triple bypass surgery on Thursday. I think it was Thursday he had the surgery. Supposedly today he's going home. They're going to send him home today. But I was looking online to see if I could find something, you know, make sure he was doing okay. And find out, make sure that everything went well with the surgery. And they had from the Westminster community. You know, there is a Wiccan group, a witches group here in Westminster. And they've got a store. They sell all kinds of trinkets and enchantments and all this incantation mess. And they were up there with a wreath and a satanic symbol in the middle of that wreath, wishing a blessed Yuletide to their gods. Okay? And I thought to myself, here the world is, we're to be celebrating the birthday of the king. And the world is out there mocking and making fun and celebrating their king's day. And I thought, my goodness, what the world needs today is the fear of the Lord. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got all kinds of abominable lifestyles now that are going on in our world. They're taking the lives of innocent, unborn, and even newborn babies. And then in the nursing homes and in the hospice situations, they're euthanizing folks to just be rid of the problems that they want. They don't want to have anything to do with in our world today. And folks, it reminds me of the book of Judges. And in Judges chapter 17 and in Judges chapter 21, there are two different places that the Bible says this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, let me ask you something today, folks. Who's the king of your heart today? It can't be self. It can't be the things of this old world. We need Jesus sitting on the throne room of our heart and our soul today. And until the world sees Christ, the world is not going to have any fear of God. They'll have no respect of God. They'll have no desire to know God today. The truth of the matter is simply this. If a person really wants to experience the blessings and the benefits reflected here in the book of Proverbs, they must reverentially fear the Lord. Amen? They must know Him and they must fear Him. And truth is not what we make truth to be, but real truth must be seen as holy God sees it and as God defines it right here in this book. He defines what truth is. And He shows us what truth is. And we've got to be willing to accept His truth as what it is. And that is truth. Now look at it. The book of Proverbs is a composition of a man who, under the enabling of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now think about this. Solomon, given great wisdom, given great understanding, he evaluated the success of a person who knows the truth of God's word and obeys it. And here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, he writes these words. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's just the start. It's the beginning of knowledge. And so we see here that to know the truth, one first of all has to know God. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible said, but fools, those who say there is no God, those who reject the word of God, they despise wisdom and instruction. You see, they see no need for God in their lives. Now let me ask you today, in our busy schedules, and everybody's got a busy schedule, believe me, everybody's got one. But do we see a need for God in our lives today as Christians? Man, when we come to this Christmas season, do we sit down and really think about what Christmas is truly all about? I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock, and the fire had gone out had gone down in the wood stove. And so I had to fix up some things there and get it all going there. And I was thinking, it was on that Christmas Eve before Christmas Day in 1978 when I made it public to the church I attended that God had called me to preach His Word, and I was surrendering my will to God's will for my life. I never will forget it. Best Christmas I've ever had in my life. Christmas Eve, December the 24th, 1978. And I thought, all those years ago, and God is still faithful. God has still been good. And you know, it was 14 degrees at my house this morning. 14 degrees. I went to go take Precious out, and she looked at me like, you got to be kidding me. And she pranced out there. We've still got snow in our backyard. She kind of pranced out on her tiptoes out there to go do her thing. And she was quick, very quick, getting back inside, let me tell you. And I was too, all right? I was glad she was quick. But here's the thing, folks. I look back at all that God has done for my life, and I can't help but thank Him and love Him for His goodness to me. I was sitting in here, but I was in here in the class last night, and I was putting papers in all these chairs, and I was thinking about who would be sitting in different places in our Sunday school class today. And I was thinking about how that God brought us here some 13 and a half years ago now. Can you believe that? 13 and a half years ago, God brought us here. I didn't know anybody. Man, I walked in this class and it scared me to death. I mean, this class was as big as our church down there. You know, it was different. But you know what? God has been good through the years. He's allowed me to stand and teach the Word of God, to preach His Word, preach the truth of the Word of God. And we've seen folks saved. I had folks coming in this morning from our Christmas outreach on Thursday night. And we took gifts to the children of some of the inmates of the local correction department here. And we already heard of folks being saved. Brother Earl Flick, I think, was it you and Ralph that went together Thursday night? Mrs. Blizzard called to thank you all for bringing gifts to her grandchildren. And she said, I'm going to be coming to your church. And she left a message. I've got it on my phone. And I heard that, and she was just so thankful that folks would take time to love those little children that didn't have anybody to love them. And folks, as I walked through here last night, I thought about each one of you and how God has been so good to us, so good to us. And folks, we ought to honor the Lord and reverentially fear Him, trust Him, obey Him in all that we do in our lives for Him. Listen, the book of Proverbs is not simply some sort of a log book where Solomon followed somebody's guidance of principles for living in hope and all this other stuff. Salvation is not some sort of a goal to be achieved, but it's a gift to be received. We don't work for our salvation. We don't become wise in order to get salvation. We become wise because we have salvation. And God grants us His wisdom through His Word, through all that He's done for us. The book of Proverbs, it ought to be considered as the testimony of a man who is wise enough to have a personal relationship with the Lord God, and then who in turn came to completely trust His Word. And you know what, folks? That's what we've got to learn to do. We've got to learn to completely trust the Word of God. Do you remember the day you got saved? You remember the day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? You remember that day? Boy, I do. And I thought about these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it said this. It said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Folks, our world today teaches, humanistically thinking, they think and they teach and they deny all that God says as being truth. They deny the creation. They deny the fact of his coming. They deny the fact that he is the one true God. But you know what? I still look at the truth of the Word of God. And it begins right there in verse number 1 in the book of Genesis chapter 1. And it said there in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? And we need to see that today. So from the beginning of time, from the very beginning, real wisdom has to start out with a personal relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But second thing, I want you to see this. There's got to be a personal respect for the Word of God. In order for us to have the wisdom that God wants us to have, the fear of the Lord that God wants us to have, we need to respect the Word of God. There are folks today that have no respect for the Word of God. They make fun of it. They ridicule it. They try to do away with it. But you know what? We still have it, don't we? Amen? You know why that is? Because the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled. The person who fears God will take a high view of his word, of the Holy Scriptures. And that person will indeed trust God's word. Now, why? Let me tell you a couple reasons why today. Number one, one of the reasons we need to be able to trust the Word of God is because Scripture speaks authoritatively about salvation, how we come to know Christ as our Savior. Listen, as a young boy, I got sprinkled, I got baptized, I tried to do good works, I tried to learn verses and memorize Scripture and things like that for little catechism stuff and all those things. And you know what? None of those things changed my heart. None of those things changed my heart. But when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, that's what changed my heart. Amen? And the Word of God speaks with authority on the Scripture. I want you to look at a couple places here with me today, okay? Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11. I think I've written some of these verses down in the bulletin today for you. I think I put them in there. I can't remember. Yes, I got them in there. All right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Jesus said this. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Jesus came to this earth for a reason, amen? It wasn't so that we could get frustrated shopping for people we don't like with money we don't have to give to somebody we don't like, okay? That's not why he came, okay? But the Bible said the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Honey, that was you, that was me. And he speaks authoritatively here. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He came to call us to see the fact of our sin so that we would repent of that sin and be saved. Luke chapter 19, when he dealt with Zacchaeus, here in the book of Luke chapter 19, he said in verse number 10, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was" what? "Lost." That was you and that was me. In John chapter 10, verse number 1, he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You got to come through the door. Listen, if I don't come through this door or that door here, to come into this room, I'm butting my head up against the wall. All I'm going to do is get a big headache and mess up a nice wall outside. That's all that's going to happen. If I want to come in here, I've got to come through what? The door. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. How do you know that, preacher? Look at verses 7 through 9 in the same chapter, John chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You know what the shepherd did? When they had that little corral there, that shepherd would make his bed as the door so the sheep could not get out. He kept them safely inside. He guarded the entrance so that no mischief came in unto them. And Jesus said here, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that great? Amen. Then look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You know this verse. Listen to what it said. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? The Word of God speaks with authority about salvation. There are many who get offended by the message of the gospel. They get offended. They get upset. Some of which even call themselves Christians, but they never, never came to know Christ as their Savior. And I want you to understand something today. You'll never find a place in anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever apologizes for the offensiveness of the gospel. He never apologized. You know why? Because he wanted us to see the facts, the truth of the matter. We're lost. We need a Savior, and there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 just a moment. You need to see this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus spoke to the people there, the Bible said that the people were astonished at his doctrine. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. The people were astonished at his doctrine. Why were they astonished? Look what it said. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know what the scribes did? They were offended by the message of God's word. They were apologizing for the word of God. Jesus spoke with authority. He taught them as no other man had ever taught them. And when the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees sent officers to capture Jesus and to bring him back to them so that they could do away with him, those officers came back to their masters, the scribes and the Pharisees. And in John chapter 7, verse 46, they asked him, they said, why didn't you bring Jesus? And they simply said this. They said, never man spake like this man. Those soldiers heard Jesus. They knew that his words were words of authority. And he brought salvation. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus said this. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And with great authority in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, it speaks of salvation. It speaks of wisdom. And when Solomon addressed all these things, he said to his son, he said, son, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then he compassionately charged his son there in that first chapter, verse number 8. And he said this, he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Don't turn it away, folks. Don't turn it away. But not only do we see the scriptures speaking authoritatively on salvation, but look at this. It speaks with authority on the security of the believer. How many of you have ever doubted your salvation? I did when I first got saved. because I didn't know what the scripture said. And I thought the next day, man, when I got mad at my brother and I got mad at my sister and things like that, and man, I thought, man, I must not be saved. What's going on here? I don't understand this. But Jesus made it perfectly clear. Listen, he saves the soul, but we still live in an old robe of flesh that gets frustrated and aggravated and tempted to do wrong, do we not? We still live in a robe of flesh like that. But I want you to understand something. The person who truly fears and reverences the Lord will also trust what his word has to say about salvation and the eternal security that salvation affords unto us. I want you to look today with me at John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. And I want you to look here regarding the security of the believer. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. He said this. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's you and me, folks, okay? We are his sheep, okay? He is our great shepherd. He said, "And I know them." Aren't you glad today that Jesus knows you? Amen? "I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them" what kind of life? Eternal life. How long is eternal? It never ends. It never ends. And look at what he said. "And they shall" what? "Never perish." Now this old body's going to die. But our soul is going to live with him forever. Think about this. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You know what that means? That means that nothing that you and I can do after we are saved, after we know Christ as our Savior, nothing we can do will pluck us out of his hand. No man can pluck us out of his hand. You know why that's so important to understand? Because if any man, anything that we do could take us out of God's hand, that means that we are more powerful than God. That means that Satan is able to do what God cannot do. And that's a lie. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And look what he said. He said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Man, what a blessing that is to know. And folks, listen to me today. This is why John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. He wrote these words. He said, "And this is the record, this is the proof, this is the evidence that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." Amen. Now let me ask you this morning. This is not a hard question, just a yes or no. But how many of you today have the Son of God in your heart today? Guess what? Then you have eternal life. Amen. And it's written right here in the Word of God. "And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." How many of you did that one day and he saved you? You believed on him. You put your faith and trust in him. That's what I did. "Therefore, he that has done this, that believe on the name of the Son of God," he said, "these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may" K-N-O-W. What does that spell? No. To know, to have knowledge of, to be assured of, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe, you may fully trust on the name of the Son of God. Man, we are God's child for how long? Forever. Amen. Now, God's only got two kinds of children. Remember this. He's got ones that love him enough to obey him, and he's got some that don't love him quite enough, and they choose not to obey him. Now, which one of those two children you think God wants us to be? I think he wants us to be the ones that love him enough to choose to obey him. Amen? And you know what? If we will love him, we can trust him. We can obey him. We can do what he wants us to do. But lastly, let me say this. The scriptures also speak on sanctification. It speaks with authority on sanctification. The fear of the Lord includes a healthy respect for the Word of God, yes. But the child of God who is serious about living out what he knows within his heart will do more than simply agree on the truth of the scriptures. You know what he's going to aspire to do? You know what we ought to aspire to do? Number one, we ought to aspire to know the scriptures and hide them in our heart. What did David say? Thy word have I what? Hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We might know. We need to agree to know. Then number two, we need to understand the scriptures and how they speak to us on a personal one-on-one basis. I was reading in here today, Proverbs chapter number 22. You know why I read chapter 22? Because today is the 22nd day of December. And look at the first verse it said, Proverbs chapter 22. He said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver or gold. You know what? I got a good name on March the 28th, 1975. I became a child of God. Amen. And I would rather choose to serve Jesus than to be the king of this land, to be the president of the United States. I'd rather be his child. But then we got to apply those scriptures. It's not enough to know them. It's not enough to just hide it in our heart. But we got to apply the word of God. Do you remember when God told Moses to take that lamb and kill it on the night before God brought him out of Egypt? He said, you need to take that lamb, hold it up for 4 days, make sure there's nothing wrong with it. Take it, cut its throat, and take its blood and put it in a bowl. And then that blood not only has to be drawn from the lamb, but it has to be applied to the doorpost and the lintel. A lot of folks today know, the devil knows today that Jesus suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. The devils in hell were there when it all happened. But they've never had the blood applied. And you know what? A lot of folks know what God has done, but they've never applied that blood to the doorpost and the lintels of their own heart and life. They've never put their faith and trust in him and in him alone as their Savior and their King. And only then can we be sanctified, set apart for God's purpose and for God's use. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Folks, let's be wise today. Let's have the fear of the Lord as we celebrate this Christmas season. Let's take time to fear the Lord. Let's take time to love him and honor him and reverence him in all that we do. And let's pray that God will use us in a great way to be witnesses for him in this world. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know that the days are short before you come back again. But Lord, I want to do my very best to teach your people how to fear you, how to honor you, how to reverently trust and obey you in all that they do. Dear God, today we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to celebrate this blessed season when we remember how that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Lord, I thank you, God, for this day. Help us, Lord, to love you, to fear you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And Lord, give you the very best that we can give you. Thank you, dear God, for this class and for the privilege to be able to teach it once again another year. We pray now, God, you'll bless our pastor as he stands to preach to us. Bless those that are going to be here today to listen to the message. And Lord, if there be anybody that's lost today that needs a Savior, help them, God, to see their need and come to know you today as their own personal Savior. And we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be here, okay?